The Merlin seemed to consider that for a moment. Then he shrugged a shoulder. I think it's far more likely that you will work very, very hard to make sure he dies. I'd like to think I work smarter, not harder, I said. If I want him dead, all I need to do is stand around and applaud. It isn't as though I can make his case any worse. Oh, said the Merlin, I'm not so certain. You have vast talents in that particular venue. He's already being hunted. Half the council is howling for his blood. From what I hear, all the evidence is against him, and anything I find out about him is going to be tainted against him by our antagonistic past. I shrugged. At this point, I can't do any more damage, so what have you got to lose? A small smile touched the corners of his mouth. Let's assume, for a moment, that I agree. What do you want from me? A copy of his file, I said. Everything you found out about Lafortier's death, and how Morgan pulled it off, all of it. And what do you intend to do with it? The Merlin asked. I thought I'd use the information to find out who killed Lafortier, I said. Just like that. I paused to think for a minute. Yeah, pretty much. The Merlin took another bite of cheese and chewed it deliberately. If my own investigations yield fruit, he said, I won't need your help. The hell you won't, I said. Everyone knows your interests are going to lie in protecting Morgan. Anything you turn up to clear him is going to be viewed with suspicion. Whereas your antagonism with Morgan is well known, the Merlin mused. Anything you find in his favor will be viewed as the next best thing to divine testimony. He tilted his head and stared at me. Why would you do such a thing? Maybe I don't think he did it. His eyebrows lifted in amusement that never quite became a smile. And the fact that the man who died was one of those whose hand was set against you when you were yourself held in suspicion has nothing to do with it. Right, I said, rolling my eyes. There you go. There's my self-centered, petty, vengeful motivation for wanting to help Morgan out, because it serves that dead bastard Lafortier right. The Merlin considered me for another long moment and then shook his head. There's a condition. A condition, I said, before you will agree to let me help you get your ass out of the fire. He gave me a bleak smile. My ass is reasonably comfortable where it is. This is hardly my first crisis, Warden. And yet you haven't told me to buzz off. He lifted a finger, a gesture reminiscent of a fencer's salute. Touché. I acknowledge that it is, technically, possible for you to prove useful. Gosh, I'm glad I decided to be gracious and offer my aid. In fact, I'm feeling so gracious, I'm even willing to listen to your condition. He shook his head slowly. It simply isn't sufficient to prove that Morgan is innocent. The traitor within our ranks is real. He must be found. Someone must be held accountable for what happened to Lafortier, and not just for the sake of the council's membership. Our enemies must know that there are consequences to such actions. I nodded. So, not only prove Morgan innocent, but find the guy who did it, too. Maybe I can set the whole thing to music and do a little dance while I'm at it. I feel obligated to point out that you approached me, Dresden. He gave me his brittle smile again. The situation must be dealt with cleanly and decisively if we are to avoid chaos. He spread his hands. If you can't present that sort of resolution to the problem, then this conversation never happened. His eyes hardened. And I will expect your discretion. You'd hang your own man out to dry, even though you know he's innocent. His eyes glittered with a sudden cold fire, and I had to work not to flinch. I will do whatever is necessary. Bear that in mind as you help me. A door opened upstairs, and in a few seconds Peabody began a precarious descent of the stairs, balancing his ledgers and folders as he did. Samuel, the Merlin said, his eyes never leaving me, be so good as to provide Warden Dresden with a complete copy of the file on Lafortier's murder. Peabody stopped before the Merlin, blinking. Yes, of course, sir, right away. He glanced at me. if you would come this way, Warden.
Dresden, the Merlin said in a pleasant tone, if this is some sort of ruse, you would be well advised to be sure I never learn of it. My patience with you wears thin. The Merlin was generally considered to be the most capable wizard on the planet. The simple words with their implied threat were almost chilling. Almost. I'm sure you'll last long enough for me to help you out of this mess, Merlin. I smiled at him and held up my hand, palm up, fingers spread, as if holding an orange in them. Balls, I said. Vice. Come on, Peabody. Peabody blinked at me as I swept past him on the way to the door, his mouth opening and closing silently several times. Then he made a few vague, sputtering sounds and hurried to catch up with me. I glanced back at the Merlin as I reached the door. I could clearly see his cold, flat, blue eyes burning with fury while he sat in apparent relaxation and calm. The fingers of his right hand twitched in a violent little spasm that did not seem to touch the rest of his body. For an instant, I had to wonder just how desperate he had to be to accept my help. I had to wonder how smart it was to goad him like that. And I had to wonder if that apparent calm and restrained exterior was simply a masterful control of his emotions, or if, under the pressure, it had become some kind of quiet, deadly madness. Damn Morgan for showing up at my door, and damn me for being fool enough to open it.